Oh, we've just been playing Shane Nicholson there, and If You Were the One, Even If You're the One, and Life Ain't Fine. And there is some of his enormous back catalogue of songs. Shane's on the phone. Good morning, Shane. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How is yourself?
I'm very well, thank you, and welcome to Connect.
Thank you.
I've just played a couple of your songs there, and I'd like to talk to you about the origins of Life Ain't Fine, because that interests me, because Paul Kelly did a song called Life Is Fine, and in fact he named his album after that a few years ago, and you came out with this one. So how did that happen?
Well, it's an answering song to Paul. So there's a long tradition of answering songs, particularly in country music, but also in pop music,
yeah,
where one artist will write a song in response to someone else's song that's already been released. I wanted to do that, and I wrote it as a response. And I went one step further. I was very cheeky. I used a lot of Paul's song titles in from his back catalogue in the lyrics of my song. And but the first person I played it to was him, and I had to obviously get an okay before anyone else heard it. And he was chuffed. He said straight away, "Oh, I love an answering song." And he sent me 12 links to 12 more answering songs I'd never heard of. You know, so yeah, it was fantastic.
So
yeah.
He obviously wanted a whole album to come out of them, did he?
Yeah, maybe so. But it's not really about Paul or anything. I just used that as a vehicle, you know, and Paul's great like that. He's very gracious, and he was furthering my musical knowledge by sending me a whole bunch more of answering songs. He's a bit of an encyclopedia on old music, especially country music, he sent me a whole list of songs I hadn't heard before. It was fantastic.
Well, what I like about Paul, and I'm not making this about you, but Paul puts out a helping hand to so many people, and that's the one thing I like about Paul. He sort of, on his albums, on his support acts, on his tours. I guess you're not a person who needs his help, but...
Well, no, but I was. And you know, he did a duet with me on one of my...
Yes.
Solo albums in about 15-16 years ago, you know, and that was a cool thing for him to do. It was kind of early in my career, and he did a song with me and did a film clip, and it's very gracious. He did the same for, you know, a lot of other artists. Casey,
yeah,
sang on her second album, and I think he's done that for a lot of people. I've done shows with him in the US and here in Oz, and he's very, very helpful when you're in the early stages of your career. He's incredibly gracious like that.
I digress for a moment. I don't remember what the song was that you and he did together, but I was playing it one day on air quite some time ago, and there's a naughty word somewhere, and I thought, oh, my God, I've just done that.
Oh, is there?
Yes, there is. So I haven't played it since, I'm very sorry to say, but there you go. But there it is. But anyway, for those who are less familiar with Shane Nicholson's achievements, I want to introduce him as a singer, composer and a record producer. He's won 3 ARIA Awards, 16 Golden Guitars at last count at Tamworth. He's recorded something like 11 albums, resulting in multi-platinum sales, and is regarded by musical authorities, you'll like this, Paul, Shane, as one of Australia's best songwriters. And on top of that, he has also got his own studios and records countless musicians, and we're going to play one for you later as well. So, Shane.
Wow. That sounds like a press release. That sounds like something somebody else has said about me.
Well, I did pinch a bit, let's be fair, but, you know, it's...
That's fantastic.
It's not a lie, is it?
No, I love it all. That's great.
You can't tell me you've just won 17 gold guitars and not 16 or anything like that.
Oh, I did. It's actually 18, but I wasn't going to correct you. It's fine.
Go on. I mean, I wasn't sure, but there it is. So it's 18.
You robbed me of 2.
Credit where credit's due. He's pinches some lyrics from other composers, but never mind. He's got 18 golden guitars from it, so what can we say? So where did this long career begin, and what in your mind has been perhaps the most memorable or treasured achievement along that vast journey?
Yeah, it was never a decision to do it. It's just something I guess I didn't ever entertain the possibility of doing something different. I just didn't, it never entered my head. I just started playing music, writing songs when I was 13 and 12 or something, when I found my mum's beat-up guitar in the house, and I started writing songs before I could tune it. Or play it. I just wanted to be creative, and And it just kept going. It's just a snowball that's got bigger and bigger. Like, and it's just, I've never entertained the possibility of doing something different. So it wasn't really a conscious decision. I think it was just something I knew I was going to do. And I've been very fortunate to be able to do it, you know, my whole life. And it's something I don't take for granted. I love it, definitely. And I think as far as highlights, I don't know. I think my favorite achievement has been the fact that I am still doing it. You know, and from growing up in Brisbane, playing in local bands, and to now be, you know, still touring. I'll be 50 this year, and made a dozen albums, and I've gotten to work with most of my heroes. I've toured the world, and you know, I think that's the achievement I think that I'm the most proud of, is I'm still doing it. You know, and especially in a day and age where it's getting harder and harder to keep going. Or to, you know, certainly to make a living out of music. So that's the achievement I'm most proud of, I think, for sure.
Well, congratulations on your longevity. I mean, that's something in itself, as you say. But and I was going to move on to something I was going to say now, but the local music scene seems to be booming with independent local artists, and they're promoting their own music, and most of it, which is distributed through online platforms or merchandise tables during their shows. So they're not so dependent on the big record companies anymore. Some of this music being self-produced, while others comes out of studios across the country, and there's lots of them, as you know. And I imagine it's a very competitive environment for you as a local producer, not only as an artist, but as a producer. So how do you deal with that?
Well, producing is something, it's become something that's pretty important to me. It's sort of like one of my limbs. I couldn't do what I do without it, because it fulfills a whole creative desire for me that I don't get just from doing my own music. You know, being in the studio and being creative is one of my favorite things to do in the world, and I get to do it daily by working with other people, you know. So it's very important to me, and I wouldn't give it up. It is changing, obviously. The landscape's changing. When I was starting out, we couldn't really, there was no way to really make our music at home, and back then it was all about saving up your money to hire the graveyard shift in the local studio so that you can record some demos at 2 a.m. you know. But now technology's gone on, and you know, it's a great thing in many ways. People can make their music at home, and they have access to the same tools that we use almost in studios every day, in professional studios. So in that sense, it's fantastic that it's more accessible to people to make music and actually you know, be able to forge a path without having to appease the gatekeepers of old who would give you a record deal, you know. Obviously, there's a flip side to that coin. It means that there's not as much quality control around in the industry. There's a lot more noise. We have about 80-something thousand songs released a day.
Good God. Now,
you know, so there's a lot of noise there for you to try and rise above, and that the competition is very high as an artist, obviously, now. But we also have the advent of social media. So while other media, TV, radio, print media, newspapers, while that's sort of declining as an avenue or a tool for artists to use to promote themselves, we've got social media now, and they can have a direct line to their audiences, you know, instantly. And you know, there's pros and cons with every kind of industry, and as time goes on and it changes, and technology certainly presented us with some challenges, but it's also afforded us opportunities that we didn't have before. For instance, during COVID, I was more busy as a producer than I've ever been in my life, because all these artists were at home writing songs, and we found ways to make music remotely, you know, while we were all in lockdown. And I had musicians all over the world playing on these albums, but we were all locked in our separate, you know, little universes, and we found ways to get around it by using the new technology that's available to us. So it can work for you and against you, certainly. There is a lot of artists, I agree with you, and I see a lot of new artists coming through. It's one of my favourite things to do, is to work with new artists. I just absolutely love it.
I'm going to talk to you about one a bit later, but I want to talk to you about you're going to be putting your singer-songwriting cap on very soon, and you're coming to Victoria to make some shows here, and a production called For the Sake of a Song. So what's that all about? And what can audiences expect for the sake of the song?
It was just a little idea I had bubbling in my back of my brain, actually during COVID times. And I wrote a song for the 50th birthday of Neil Young's Harvest album.
Because that was
the album that changed my life, you know. And I wrote a song on my latest record called Harvest on vinyl, and all about how that song became, and that album became, a soundtrack to my life. And through doing that, it made me think about the importance of songs. And a lot of us have developed, you know, connections to certain songs throughout our lives for different reasons, and the way they're attached to certain events in it. And it's like a soundtrack we all have to our lives, and it made me think about that. And I thought, well, I'd really love to put a show together that kind of focused on that, on the importance of the song, and showed us the humans behind the song a bit more than you normally see it at a concert. You know, so this is less of a concert and more of a group showing of, you know, the inside workings of a song. And
fantastic.
It's still a performance. We have a band, and we're all playing together separately, and it's still a show, but we're hoping to kind of present something that's never been done or shown before.
So the tour's coming to Victoria in May, folks, and the other people on the show, they're no slouches either. We've got we've got Shane Nicholson, he's there, as we just said. We've got Shane Howard, we all know Shane Howard, and we've got a very favourite person on this show, Sara Storer. So three of them will be taking turns there in the spotlight, and they'll be performing their own compositions. And what a fantastic... I often think it's fantastic to know what triggers a song, like you've just told us what triggered the song with Paul Kelly. And to find out what's behind a song and how it came about is such an insight, and I think gives people a better appreciation of the song and the writer. So it's coming on along in May, and I'll give you the dates afterwards. But I wanted to move on, if I could, and talk about something. So you're all appearing separately, I understand, and being back with a band. Do you do anything together, or is it three separate artists?
We're doing the whole show together, but we will be playing songs of our own, and we'll be playing songs together. But the whole show is sort of together, really, with the band and. In different sections, and we've only just started rehearsing and putting it together, so it's a work in progress at the moment. But no, it's really a show of the three of us kind of presenting what we do and how it crosses over the Venn diagram of all of us and our audiences, and how they interact and how it crosses over. And you know, we're people who've worked together over the years, we've performed together, we know each other, but we haven't done anything like this before. And I purposefully handpicked Sara and Shane to do this first tour of this kind because I knew that the personalities were they're very big on songs. Sara and Shane are very, you know, intensive songwriters. They believe in the power of songwriting.
Well, of course, they've both got a huge reputation. I haven't seen Shane Howard in concert, but I have seen Sara Storer, and what a great act she is. How she works with an audience, and it's a very intimate performance with Sara. It's just like being part of her family while she stands there and tells you about
her songs. Exactly. She's the same person on stage as she is off stage.
Yeah, I found that out too, and that's a nice thing about her. You know, the other day I came across a quote that sums up your reputation in the industry, in my opinion. You're getting worried now, aren't you?
But just, a little bit.
Just hang in there, we'll be all right. It was, and you talked about working with artists before, and this is the example here. So this is from a singer-songwriter we talked about before, Billie Jo Porter. Now, Billie's been on the show, and she's a lovely lady. Billie was speaking about her new single, which I'll play shortly because Shane produced it, and working on this song with Shane, this is what she said, working on this song with Shane Nicholson was such a blast. He came up and really was really surprising and exciting. We came up with some really surprising and exciting sounds on the track, and it's so cool to see a crappy little phone demo come to life in the way it has. That's how she described her song, not your production. I feel this song really captures the heart of what I love about making music. And she's attributing that to her song, a crappy little demo, as she calls it. Well, I don't think so, but anyway. She's attributing the work, the success of that song, and how she visualized it and how it actually came out, to your work as a producer. So I think that's pretty fantastic.
Oh, Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, that's what I love about what I do, taking something from a raw little demo on an iPhone and building it into something special that someone can be proud of and take out to the world. I mean, it's a pretty cool thing to be a part of, you know, and I love doing that.
Well, I think that's absolutely, and I think that sort of encapsulates what it is and what it is you're doing now as a producer. I mean, you're obviously still a singer and a songwriter, but what you're doing with that other arm is as a producer, which is fantastic. Let's just tell you where the dates are, then I'll let you go, Shane, because I'm going to play Billy's song very shortly. But they're coming in Melbourne, coming to Australia, Victoria rather, in May. Thursday the 14th of May at the Memo Music Hall, Memes Music Hall down there in St Kilda. On Friday the 15th at the Theatre Royal in Castlemaine. Saturday the 16th of May at the Queenscliff Town Hall. And on the 17th at Archie's Creek Hall out there in Gippsland. Now, I know a lot of those places aren't terribly close to us here, but I'll tell you what a lot of people do with these concerts. I mean, St Kilda is one thing that's fairly close. Castlemaine and Queenscliff particularly, a lot of people go and stay overnight up there and go and see the show while they're there. Well, a pre-book for the show and obviously pre-book their accommodation, it goes without saying, but there's a great thing to do. Castlemaine and Queenscliff, lovely places, 15th and 16th of May, and the 17th of May out there at Archie's Creek Hall, which is a fantastic, very intimate venue out there in Gippsland, folks. So three places to go, four places to go to see the show and to see Shane Nicholson, Shane Howard, and, of course, Sarah Storer. And I think it's going to be a great show, and I'm looking forward to it. You can make bookings through www.laing-entertainment.com.au, or I guess you can go to Shane's website, or you can ring one of the venues yourself, I guess would be the place to. So there's no excuse, folks. You've got to go and see the show. And Shane Nicholson, thank you very much for talking to me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I wish you well with the show, and I think it's going to be a great show. And I'm going to play Billy Joe Porter for people in a moment, and let's just see the finishing touches you made to her crappy little phone demo.
Fantastic.
Shane, thanks for your time today. Look forward to seeing you soon. Take care.
Likewise. Thank you.
Bye for now. Bye.